Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning. And thank you for joining us on another episode of Punch TV Studios Radio Network's new show, Changing the Conversation. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and we are in the Punch Bowl today. But today's show is not only going to be a very important show for Punch TV Studios, but this is going to be a historical show because we have our field representatives on the ground floor in Charlottesville, Virginia. Right now, we're going to be broadcasting live from the slave auction block right in Charlottesville, Virginia. Now, there are many that feel that if President Donald Trump can target and harass women, immigrants, Muslims, the disabled, the poor, and so many others with threats of physical violence and cruel insults and taunts, why can't they? There are some that want to bring divisiveness into America, but we know that we are not going to let that happen because we know that no matter what, God is still on his throne. So what we're doing at Punch TV Studios is we're taking a look at what is going on in the world, what is happening, and being in media, we can cover things that mainstream media may not wish to cover. So what we want to do is we want to hear from you. We want to jump in and hear your thoughts on what's going on in the United States, what's going on in the world. If you're listening live on the call, and you want to join the conversation in the Punch Bowl, please be sure to press 1. If you just want to listen, that's fine. But if you want to join the conversation, press 1. If you're listening to the show on your computer, feel free to give us a call, 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. Remember to press 1 so that we know you don't want to just listen. You want to join the conversation. And before we get too far into the show, what we're going to do is I'm going to take this brief commercial break because we have some great announcements that we're going to be making on today's show, but we're going to be right back momentarily.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Good morning. What a wonderful day, a wonderful opportunity to be involved with. Again, we are broadcasting live from Charlottesville, Virginia. We have our guests, our representatives live on the ground in Charlottesville on the line. We have a bottle of youth and a bottle of youth for me. Good morning. How's it going there in Charlottesville?
Good morning. It has been a very informational trip. I mean, we found out a whole lot of information that most wouldn't know unless they were here. And it's been quite an experience talking to the residents here.
So explain a little bit about what's going on there, and some things, I know some things changed since we spoke yesterday. So what has happened since 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock yesterday morning and now?
Well, well, first of all, the young man, the 20-year-old, he was denied bail from the judge, and the crowd is still kind of around, but they're on the outskirts, and a lot of those representatives from the Aryan Nation as well as the Nazi nationalists. The media here in town is really off the chain. You can't go around a courthouse anywhere downtown without seeing a news vehicle somewhere or someone doing a report live from this area. I did watch a little cable news last night while preparing for today, just to learn a few things that may have been talked about in the other media other than ours, because I really believe that our media is the only one that count right now. I was glad to hear our president finally say something. It's really a shame that he must be told. He really doesn't act as a commander-in-chief, and I'm very disappointed in that. I didn't think he really moved far enough away from those groups that mean harm to good folks.
Yes. So you're referring to what many say, that President Trump didn't do enough to distance himself from the people who were doing the things in Charlottesville. Because, you know, usually he's quick to say something and talk about extremists and talk about terrorists. But in this situation, when you have people being terrorized on the streets in the United States, he didn't step up and make any statement distancing himself from that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's definitely what I'm saying. I still don't believe that any statement he has made has been sincere. And by watching his facial expressions and his nonchalantness about it all, he shows no emotion. And I think a president right now should be very emotional about what we're talking about. It was an emotional time in our history, which has been embedded in every living being that I know, whether you're white, black, Chinese, Asian, orange, blue, it don't matter. Everybody here knows what's been going on for centuries. And it's just never talked about. It's always overshadowed. We still only have 1 month a year to really discuss it in schools. I still haven't found a really Negro history book, as my grandmother called. She said, you know, it always shocked her that there was never a book that kept up with Negro history as she was growing. And it was more or less told stories by generation. You know, similar to, you know, Indian tribes. We weren't, I guess, allowed to put it in print at one point. And if you did, it wouldn't have been a good idea if you tried back then anyway. So, I mean, we have, you know, civil rights leaders that have gone down to Mississippi, and they talked about them last night, you know, for the civil rights movement, just for the right to vote. I think all of this is just truly, truly upsetting. It upset me even more to understand, even though I went to school here for 2 years of high school, my last 2 years, that there's actually a slave auction block down here. And it's in the same area where everyone had their protest. And that in itself, I think, would create emotion on one spectrum, on one end of the spectrum, as well as on the other. And just as they see it, that's going to even empower them even more, because, hey, that's what we used to do. That's what we did. That's what we should do. is the way these folks were talking.
Okay, so when you say that there's a slave auction block in Charlottesville, Virginia right now, can you explain that to our listeners? I just want to be clear. There's an auction block, there's a museum. What is the slave auction block where you are right now?
Well, somebody in history thought it would be a great idea at one point to put this over in the Court Square here in Charlottesville, Virginia. And they have a engraved monument down there talking about this slave auction block. There's been several pictures. I have yet to see this item because of all the media that's around has really been trying to get through to this particular park, because where the statue of Robert E. Lee stands, the media is around it almost as if it's a god, just to be able to talk about it. I mean, there's just circles of media around it. And then you have the folks that got to do their everyday work or go to work or take a bus, and they're sitting directly across the street watching this circus.
Mm-hmm. So the statue of Robert E. Lee is what was the light that started this, correct?
Correct.
It was.
And this was because a student started discussing it. And because a student started discussing it, it became a bigger issue out here politically. Therefore, the Blue Ribbon Association, I believe it is, or foundation, decided to start having meetings on this. Now, I posted all these meetings, about three or four that I posted from last year to May 16th of this year, I believe it was, and it talked about what they were trying to do or what they thought about doing, what they were considering doing. This was an open forum at one time where everybody was meeting to discuss what to do with this monument. All because of what this young lady said. I don't recall her name. I'm in the middle, so I'm trying to get right back over here to these reporters right now. I can try to tell you a little bit more what's going on. I have not seen a whole lot of black folks. I really have not. I did notice towards sundown, most were in the house, unless maybe they were coming home from work. Very few walking. I did see a lot of the UVA students, you know, a lot of Caucasians out here, you know, walking around Charlottesville. Normally that's what they would do around the UVA corner, which is a little place where a lot of the college students hang out and get food. There's some like Starbucks and stuff over that way. But everything around here are historical buildings. And so I'm just watching the media roll through Charlottesville, documenting everything, and I'm really wondering how much of it are they going to come back and tell the truth about.
So what we have to make sure that we do is that we capture as much of that footage as we can. So being a media outlet, these are the documentaries and the stories that we definitely want to tell, because it's what we are part of right now. This is the history that's happening right now that we'll be able to show on Punch TV what's going on right now in 2017 in Charlottesville, Virginia.
I tell you, I watched the traffic stop last night. It was the only traffic stop I've seen all the way throughout the city. It was over in a black neighborhood. It was three vehicles on one vehicle with one male in it, one black male. Sat there recording it for a while. They did realize that I was sitting further up the street recording. One vehicle pulled off, the other officer in the Jeep towed the officer in the patrol car and pointed towards where I was at with my cell phone, just recording it, sitting in the car. So they wound up letting this guy go. Don't know why he was stopped, but that was a clear picture of what happened up here. I hadn't seen that traffic stop throughout the whole city last night. But that was the only one I did today, and it was over in a black neighborhood, and it was three vehicles on one vehicle at a corner in a residential area, which I really thought was overkill to have three vehicles. Like I said, it was only one individual, and from what I could tell, even if they wanted to call it a felony traffic stop, they didn't go according to those procedures. You know, it was more just like a regular traffic stop, and the other cars was just there for backup or whatever they want to have considered it. But one other thing I wanted to talk about today was a little bit about when I was at the police department. My wife wanted me to make sure to have been clear as to why I felt that there was racism at the police department. And the best
we definitely want to discuss the racism at the police department. We want to have a little bit more time to discuss that. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop for a brief commercial break, but also to let all our listeners on the line know that if you want to join the conversation, please press 1. If you want to listen to the line, on the line, that's fine. But jump in, join the conversation. We're discussing what's going on in Charlottesville, Virginia. Today, if you're listening to the show on your computer, give us a call at 657-383-1974. Again, that number is 657-383-1974. And please press 1 to join the conversation in the Punch Bowl, and we're going to be right back after this brief commercial break.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
If you are just now tuning in, this is a show you want to tweet about, you want to post about, you want to let everybody on Nabuki know that you are tuned in to the Punch TV Studios Radio Network show, Changing the Conversation. We're on Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific time. We're discussing everything that's going on. Jump into the Punch Bowl on today's conversation and discuss Charlottesville history of racism. Now we're moving on to discuss the police department. You have some thoughts on the police department?
Yes. I was a police officer back in 96 and 97 with Charlottesville Police Department. I was hired under a grant, as I spoke about yesterday. But one of the things that really stood out to me was when I got injured. And I spoke a little bit about the arrest that I was making when my sergeant responded to the scene late. And I was on the side of the hill wrestling a guy dealing with a crowd of folks at the same time. Well, that was the incident where I wound up tearing my ACL. I had to have ACL reconstruction, a total of 2 surgeries. But while out on workman's comp, I noticed my treatment versus the other officer who was also on workman's comp approximately around the same week. I think he came in maybe 1 or 2 days after I was already on workman's comp, working in an office when I finally did get back to working in an office for light duty. And while being there, I was actually assigned to sit down there in the basement where the old cells were to shred call for service cards from the early 1900s. And this was like my daily job, sitting at a shred machine while injured. Now, when it was time to go to therapy, I had to utilize my own vehicle to get there, but I had to take sick time. They made me take sick time in order to go to therapy. It was the most oddest thing because the white officer, who was still upstairs at the time after I got moved downstairs to the basement, where everybody come in, you know, after their shift or they're leaving out to go for their shift. There are some old jail cells down there. And that's where they held all the 911 call for service cards from, like I said, the early 1800s. So you can imagine maybe about 8 cells filled up from the floor across and up to the ceiling with call for service cards from this earlier era that they wanted destroyed. Because of the unfair treatment that I thought I was receiving, I started kind of doing some investigation on my own into salary, to find out throughout human resource that there was a huge discrepancy in white officers' pay versus black officers' pay. And the same thing when it came to promotions. I told you about one officer who was a black officer that had been promoted on human resource paperwork.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was because of that incident along with my incident, you know, of them, they were really trying to push me out the door while I was on workman's comp and while I was injured. And I had a huge problem with that, you know. I really fought the system on why do I have to take sick time or my vacation time in order to seek therapy or doctor's appointments or, you know, whatever for an injury that I received here on the job that their job was clearly paying for and that I was already on workman's comp for. So what was the point of making me take my sick time and my vacation time? Now, in the end of all of this, they wound up giving me that time back and paying me for it. But I went without it for months, even after leaving the police department, because when I did leave the police department, it was still at the same time with me being injured and also fighting with these other black police officers to sue the police department. I was kind of the young black officer that came in that wasn't really afraid to shake things up. Not so much around here. I went to school here, but I just don't like to see anyone get done wrong. And when I do, I try to stand up for them. And in this particular situation, I realized that all the black officers here were being done wrong, well, as regards to promotion and just certain duties that they were being performed. You know, as far as call for service card, you had black officers going in certain areas of town more so than white officers, and, you know, and that was to have been chosen by either the 911 operator who was working on shift. You know, there is this good old boy system that existed 20 years ago when I worked there, and looking at this latest rally and the folks that was out there and the folks I remember who worked at the department and what their interest was outside of the job, it wouldn't have shocked me to have seen a few of them down there walking around.
Now, we definitely want to expand on that, but we do have a caller who has a question or a comment and wants to join the Punch Bowl. Caller, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Did you have a question or a comment about what's going on today in Charlottesville, Virginia?
Yeah, I just kind of caught the end of the conversation. Was this an actual cop at the event?
Yes, if you talk to myself, I was actually CP40, and I worked in 96 and 97 here at Charlottesville Police Department, a black officer.
Right, okay. And were you at the one, I mean, just the one that just happened, or were you not there?
No, sir, I was not there.
I thought you were saying you were there.
Because of that reason.
Right,
no,
I just wanted to, I was asking because, I mean, do you feel like, during that moment, it was back to that time where blacks are really oppressed.
I didn't understand the question. I feel at the moment it was back to that time of what?
Yeah, so the moment in Charlottesville when, you know, the white supremacists was marching and all, they were, you know, hitting us and just doing very unscrupulous things. Now, did it take you back to a moment when blacks really didn't have any freedom and blacks didn't have any type of say in this world?
Well, I can't tell you taking me back to that point. I'm only 43. However, I can tell you that what I had experienced at the police department and around the city of Charlottesville working as an officer, seeing what I've seen, it reminded me of some situations that I've seen I graduated from Charleston High School.
Right. Wow.
What were your thoughts, caller? You called in and you asked the question. I mean, in the punch bowl, it's not just about what one person feels or what one person thinks. It's about having a conversation. That's what we're doing here at Punch TV Studios. We're changing the conversation, and we're actually talking and discussing what's going on in the world today. So you may not be – I don't know where you are, caller, but you may not be in Charlottesville, Virginia, but wherever you are, I'm assuming you're in the United States, how does what's going on make you feel? What are your thoughts? Have you watched what's going on in Charlottesville?
Well, what I feel, I really feel like it's going to expand. It's not going to just, I mean, yeah, it may have started in Charlottesville, but I feel like it's going to go to those places like Chicago or New York or even Los Angeles, and that is where it's going to get real bad. Like, it's going to, because these are, I mean, once it expands to, like, New York, a really big place, it's going to be a war within ourselves.
But it doesn't actually
like
happen
very,
in the war because there's always, you know, wars and rumors of wars. In the history of history, there's never been a point of time where there haven't been wars or rumors of wars. But what's different in 2017 as opposed to any other time, like they say, it's not that more things are happening necessarily, it's just that more things are being recorded. I was walking down the street a couple of days ago, and I saw an accident, and I looked at the accident, and I saw a lady recording the accident. I didn't even know it was an accident. I know it was police officers there, but I saw the lady recording it. And so it's now we're not afraid to record what the police are doing. We were so afraid, you know, you would never dare take a picture of a police officer like years ago, but now everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has a video recorder, so it's easier for us to record the things that are going on. Another thing is with the invention of technology, the people can't deny it. They can try to delete the tapes. They can try to hide it, but at the end of the day, because of technology, more and more people are being exposed because we have them on video showing the things that are being done. Just like we discussed on yesterday's episode of Changing the Conversation, there were many people who were in the rally that other people took photos of, and they sent it to their jobs. They sent it to their employers, and they said, did you know that this employee was a racist? Did you? And these people got fired. That's the power of the people.
Wow. I did see something about that. I did see some people that screenshotted some people that were marching with the torches, and also they posted on social media and said, Frank, is that you, or Marlo, is that you? And it was actually someone who they never would think was a, you know, racist, and they're out there at that event promoting the violence and, you know.
Right. Now, caller, this is a bother of youth. I truly agree with what you said as far as expanding. Now, I know one of the questions that I've been hearing on cable news is that folks believe that Trump's election, the way he ran the election, how much do you think that played into this becoming a bigger issue and we're talking about it today, trying to find a solution?
Well, what I honestly agree or like feel and I agree with what the internet's been saying, that like, you know, how this rights room, he said Trump pretty much without tortures Trump. It's a reason that we're out here. So Trump gave them a voice. Like, I feel like with Trump being in power, they now feel like they can do or say anything, you know, without getting any type of punishment for their actions, which they really don't get. And if they do, it would be just a slap on the wrist, you know?
Right. How do you feel about him coming here later, finally trying to his distance from those groups?
Well, one thing he can't do, I mean, but we already know what Trump's all about. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, I feel like, in my opinion, Trump is really with those people. Like, he supports it. He may not say it, but he supports those guys more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing exactly what he's, like, you know how he wants to do the travel ban, he wants to send the immigrants back to their country, and he wants to give jobs to, you know, that's why they were, you know, protesting, you know, the Jews, they're not, you know, Jews are not going to steal, and blacks are not going to take our position, and, you know, because they're, and their leader is telling them that, so they're going to say, okay, we're going to follow our leader, and we're going to make a fool of ourselves, and show them who's boss, and they did just that. And like I said, it goes back to expansion. Charlottesville is literally just the start of it. They're going to come to these bigger places.
Right, right. Now, you do know that they have said that President Trump was considering a pardon for the sheriff there in Arizona that was committed in court in regards to the immigrant law.
So he's gonna pardon them from prison?
He said he was thinking about it, and that's what they were talking about on the media. What do you think about that?
Well, if he does that, then, I mean, then this is a perfect, it's a clear image of who Trump really is, like, of what he supports, and what his final goal is. His final goal is dominance, meaning he wants his people to dominate everyone else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much, I mean, what do you think? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, my opinion on Trump, having served in the military, I'm very disappointed. Do I feel like he's a commander-in-chief? No.
Do I feel like
he should be standing in front of anybody's podium with our presidential seal on it? No. Should he be impeached? Yes.
Yes.
I strongly think he should be. And I think his character and the way he's carried himself this past week is kind of a narrative as to what we have to come to for the future for him. I don't see him getting elected another time. I hope not. But that's for the voters to come out and tell the truth this time. I think every last time the voters was motivated by their own personal feelings versus what was right for the country, and here we are today.
Yeah, and it's,
I definitely agree. I think that what happens is when people are unhappy, when people are suffering, when people are miserable, they just want to change. They don't necessarily have to have a change that's better for them, but they just want something different. And it's been so many years of recession, so many years of people being hungry. I mean, if you take a look at our college system, I'm going to try to find this video. And when I find it, I'm going to post it on the Bookie. But I was watching this video, and it was talking about adjunct professors and how the majority of the professors in our colleges and universities are actually adjuncts and not actually employees of the universities, and how these employees or how these adjunct professors are on welfare. How can you be a professor teaching at a university in America and have to depend on the United States government to feed your family? And that's where the majority of Americans are right now. That's why I was really a big fan of having Bernie Sanders. I was a go feel the burn kind of person because he understood that right now there's no reason in the world why we live in one of the greatest places ever in the world, and you have people who are literally working 40 hours and they cannot feed their families. So people want a change. They want something different. And so they knew, if anything else, that Trump was different. He was different. His motto was to make America great again. So what I had a problem with and what I believe is that what we need to do and what our focus here at Punch TV Studios is not to make America great again, because I don't know when, what time they consider great, but to make America great. That's what we have to do. We have to create greatness. We have to create wealth. We have to create jobs in America. And that's what the people of America want. And so when you have people who are hungry, what are hungry do is they separate themselves. So these people are separating themselves based on color because they're hungry. And they're saying, okay, look, we only have a certain amount of food. We only have a certain amount of wealth. So if we get rid of all the black people, we get rid of all the Hispanic people, we, the white people, the Caucasian people, whatever they want to call themselves, will have more food to eat. So what we have to do is work on making ourselves great and creating jobs and creating wealth in our community. I want to get everybody's thoughts on that, feedback on that. But what before I do anything else, caller, don't leave us. Hold on for one more second. We do have to stop for a brief commercial break, and we will be right back.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
Caller, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you, Nabuki? Yes, no? A bottle of you, do you, Nabuki?
I sure do, Nabuki. I was Nabuki this morning.
It's not too late, caller.
Nabuki is on social media site, Punch TV caller.
Now, Sharifa, I just got back in from taking film at the statue. I talked to a few people there. Nobody really wanted to speak out publicly, but everyone had very strong opinions. Now, obviously this slave block is not in the same park that the statue is. And a lot of the locals have a very, very strong dislike for the statue and obviously have for some time. It's been an eyesore, and it's been something that they want removed. I talked to several people who were on the council to get it removed. However, they plan on moving the slave block and building a monument there for history purposes. So I don't know about the slave block. We're on our way to see that now. One of the things that I thought was outrageous yesterday was the fact that they were saying that the Klan members and whatnot had cans of soda with semen in it.
They had cans of soda with what in it?
Semen. That's what they were throwing. When you see them throwing stuff on the video, they were throwing cans of soda that they had put cement in to get the worst effect.
Wow. That is just mind-boggling that this is happening today.
Yes.
What are some of
it's
the
really
responses difficult. Between the officials in Charlottesville to all of this?
I have not actually heard anything. By the time I got in last night, I think the local news had already went off. I was more or less paying attention to the national news that was just really talking about Donald Trump and him being so late. The guy would be late to his own funeral. This is sad. But him being late to speak on this, I don't think nobody should have ever had to tell him. But, you know, the citizens here that we have been able to talk to, especially in the black community, a lot of which are really trying to stay away from any of this area.
And may I mention, the people I talked to were white people, and the majority of the people that feel free to walk around here are the white people. And unfortunately, that's a lot of what made up the group of protesters against the Klan. I mean, basically the black people in this area knew not to go close by that area, you know, the area. So the group was mainly made up of young people who felt strongly, and most a lot of white people that feel strongly about getting the statue removed.
You talk about changing the conversation. There you go. You actually had an almost predominantly white group of folks, which Heather Heyer was a part of, was protesting against the KKK and the neo-Nazi nation for their rights as well as their personal beliefs. But in actuality, standing in place of who should have been there, probably more so a black group of folks, they kind of took up for us. But at the same token, I'm watching the city and the black residents really try to stay away from any of the edginess. I mean, most folks are really staying indoors. I've never really seen Charlottesville like this, especially in August. Yeah, this is not a – normally you see black folks walking all up and down the street. Either they're going to the store, get their first morning beer, and some of the areas out here, I don't even see those folks.
An area where you see people walk and ride bikes all times of day and night. This is a very safe area. It's the most beautiful area that most people will ever see, with the mountains and the hills and the greenery. And it's a beautiful place to be if we're allowed to come in and to serve the Charlottesville citizens. Peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So are you, I just want to make sure that I understand what you're saying. So normally, on a normal August summer day, when you walk down the street, you would see people everywhere. And now when you walk down the street, the streets are empty. The streets, people aren't outside. People aren't walking around, especially not black people.
Well, there are white people walking around, and majority of them, if they're not college students, just going to get lunch or books or whatever they're doing over in this particular area of Charlottesville, or what they call the corner. There's a lot of restaurants up that way. So it's dealing with a lot of food for the folks that is coming out. Then they're going back to work or going back to their dorm room. But as far as the black population or residents of the city, I have not seen many. I mean, I've even driven into some of the Section 8 housing. The courts are clear. No one's outside. I think I might have seen maybe four or five in one whole apartment complex, and this is maybe a place of 300 apartments. It's quite interesting. Currently right now I'm going past University of Virginia Hospital on Main Street. My wife is recording, but there's maybe one, two, three, four is more cars than there are people on the street. Up here at the corner, I'm approaching right now. And this is a very the city because of the university, where they would have the Virginia logo painted on the street as you're driving down the street. A lot of times when the Clemson Tigers came in, they would have paw prints coming through the street, you know, painted in orange. And this is that section of Main Street that turns into University Avenue, I believe, up here with the corner grocery store and Cafe, Katora. There's a place called Roots. There's a lot of black businesses here in Charlottesville, and I see where they're open, but they don't have the crowd outside that would normally be sitting, eating, and enjoying lunch outside around this time of day. It's really stunning to see. It really is. I see a lot of ambassador RMC events. Don't exactly know what that's for. However, I did see a lot of gentlemen on bicycles with fluorescent shirts last night. I don't know if that's part of a police program here at the university. I'm thinking it is, because they look like they were being more like community service officers versus actual police officers.
Right.
I'm passing the College Inn restaurant up here next to Mentor, which is the bookstore, the major store that people come get all of their UVA gear from. Two people inside it. I'm telling you, the streets out here are very unusual. I haven't gone down Route 29 heading north going towards Culpeper. That's a lot of business district in regards of shopping centers, mall or car lot, stuff like that. So I know there's a lot of traffic out that way. Definitely not here in the actual town or city of Charlottesville, unless you're around maybe the college campus. That's when you start seeing a little bit more activity.
No. Tomorrow, okay, I just want to make sure because I know that we have scheduled more interviews and everything on for Wednesday. Are we still going to be live in Charlottesville on Wednesday? Are we?
Yes, we will. We will be here. I'm trying to get up with a few of my folks when they get off of work this evening to see how many of them are going to get to call in. I did want to give everybody an opportunity to at least have a day notice. That way, if they had to work, they maybe could be able to take their lunchtime around that particular time. I definitely don't want anyone losing their job just trying to call in, but I wanted to be able to get the word out at the same time and hear their stories. And I appreciate the caller for calling in today. I don't know where he called in from, but he had some very interesting conversation for us.
Yes, I believe the caller is still on the line. Caller, are you there? Caller, I have them still on the line.
Oh, yeah,
Okay. A bottle of you, right. The caller's still here.
Yes, I was going to ask, caller, where are you from in the region?
Yeah, so I'm from Chicago, actually.
Okay. And I did see I believe it was a blog in regards to something that happened up in Chicago, and the president kind of tweeted about it. It was like, yeah, we should be talking about that versus talking about the Charlottesville thing, because there was a lot of blacks, I believe, that was killed. Maybe, I don't know if it was a gang violence thing or whatever, but it must have been in recent headlines over the last 2 days where Trump actually had tweeted about that particular post, saying even the fake media, you know, the fake media don't want to believe what he's got to say. He should be talking about something like this. And that it really wasn't that important to have to come back out and say more about the Charlottesville riot. Whereas I felt it was important for him to come back out. I think he did it because he was told to. I think he did it because the American people was unhappy. And I still think he's got more to explain. And I'm wondering if you feel the same way. And did you see that same article I did regarding the Chicago newspaper front headline?
So the headlines in Chicago, it was about the trains and the terrorists that they're targeting, the trains in Chicago. I don't know if you're talking about that. Are you talking about that one?
Was that within recent days?
That was just 2 days ago. Yeah, it just came out. So what happened is, I guess the terrorists was targeting the trains in Chicago. So they were actually on pretty much a lockdown. The city was, they were on watch for that. He had the live video yesterday downtown showing the trains and stuff passing Chicago, and it talked about the headlines, what's going on. But as for the violence in the city, like the black on black crime, I'm sure you're talking about. Yes. And Trump actually, you know, like he did in, I want to say he did it in, not Detroit, but he did it in, let's see, which place is this? Dang it, they're right by each other. This city that he put in, like, he brought in the troopers. So they're, like, secure. Like, the whole city is pretty much secure. There's, like, officers standing on the street. There's officers standing in the store. There's officers everywhere now in this specific city. And he wants to do the same thing for Chicago because of all the violence that's been happening. Now, the violence in Chicago definitely stems from the low poverty. The people are going through poverty in Chicago, and, you know, anger is definitely there. And people are just, I mean, these teenagers are killing each other left and right in Chicago. So in a way, I kind of agree with Trump with that. I think we need that type of order in the city right now because a lot of people, I mean, there's been a lot of families who's lost sons and daughters at the age of 2 or the age of 18 or, you know. So, yes, I definitely agree with Trump on that part with doing that.
Caller, the headline read, 9 dead, 30 wounded in weekend shooting across Chicago. And that's what Trump was referring to. That's what we should be talking about versus still talking about the Charlottesville incident. And they also asked Trump's team yesterday, did we feel or did he feel it was important enough for him to come to Charlottesville? What do you think about that?
I mean, Trump just definitely – okay, listen, let me just say this. If Obama was in office, Obama would have went to Charlottesville. I mean that – yeah, he would have went right away. Obama would have went right away. That's what – so Trump – I mean, as Trump, the head of – you know, the head of state, he definitely should go to Charlottesville after that incident. He needs to show that he cares. And that's the way people – he needs to connect with people. He needs to – I know it's probably dangerous to go – maybe he feels it's dangerous for him to go right now. But I'm sure he'd be fine if he went there to speak and to get people to gather and show his condolences to what's happening. Because with him not showing his face, it's pretty much saying that he doesn't care what happened.
Right.
Now, one of the things that I did hear from people is that everything had to play. They're not saying that this statue needs to be destroyed. They're saying it needs to be relocated. And along with all the other Confederate things that are, and relocate them in a central location, a central museum, where people can come and see that part of history. Before it to be put in people's faces in many, many cities across the United States, that's what they're fighting against. That's what they were out there for this weekend. How do you feel about maybe having them all relocated to a more central location?
Like maybe D.C.?
Okay. I never thought about that, but I guess that will make sense everyone deserves to believe in what they want to believe in, and that's from a religion, stands for from a, you know, whether you're Republican, Democratic, you're racist, not racist, you are allowed an opinion. So, yeah, I think the D.C. thing would definitely be the ideal place.
That's where I was going, and then he just okay.
So you do feel like maybe having it at a central location, like maybe like they do the artifacts that we find, or anything else dealing with anything American history.
Yeah, definitely. I really do feel like it would be great if they put it in Washington, perfect. Leave it there. But as for it being in cities, rural cities, you know, it's kind of like, nah, because look what's happening. In those now it's gonna get like I said earlier, it's just gonna expand. It's gonna get worse and it's gonna get more serious, and the event's gonna get more tragic. Like they're gonna get more, because people are just gonna stop caring in general about other people's lives except for themselves. They won't care if they, you know, person or kill that person just so they can feel like they are contributing some way of one less this or one less that. You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As far as parental guidance, how do you think we might be able to start a conversation from a younger, you know, childhood, looking at people in their adolescence up to adulthood, to keep them on track, to get them to understand that there's no place for racism here in America?
Well, I definitely think it starts at home. Definitely. I don't know, it's crazy. Like, I wasn't raised to even see that black-white thing anyways, or whatever, Democrat, Republican. I didn't know anything about that. I think me not knowing about it helped me more than knowing about it. So I think if you just don't even tell them the difference, that they will be, you know, more human about things. Like, you have to be acceptable to other people's opinions or visions or whatever they may be. But you can't try to ruin people's lives because they believe a certain thing, or, you know. And I think right now with social media, it's so hard to teach our kids one way anyway, so they're going to just follow what they see online, it seems like. First it was television, now it's social media, and every two-year-old on up has a phone or a tablet or something in their hand, and they're getting all the information. So even if we don't teach them about it, they're going to learn about it somehow, some way, and they're going to find their own opinion.
Now, we were watching the news last night. Michael Moore made a very valid point that while Trump is doing all this stuff to upset society, and while we're sitting up here and steaming over the words he's saying, behind closed doors, he's doing deals with people he shouldn't be doing deals with, selling land off to people he shouldn't be selling land off. And all of this, he feels, is more or less a smoke and mirrors type thing. How do you feel about that?
I feel like Trump is doing things from a business standpoint more than a presidential standpoint.
Do you feel like he should be selling any of America's land off?
No, and of course not.
Okay, well, he did.
Yes.
Now what did you say? And that's verifiable. Oh. You can look it up.
That's...
Go to the Department of Interior. This just recently happened.
That Michael Moore mentioned that he's done recently within this last week alone. I think maybe we should be paying more attention to the documents he's signing on our behalf. You know, I know that's definitely something that we're all going to have to take heart in. It is paying more attention to what documents and things he's doing behind closed doors. But I also wonder, how would you go about maybe dispersing these papers? I mean, I noticed earlier you were talking, you know, we were all talking about how on Facebook some people were outed, and I do feel like seeing that these are hate group, they should be outed and dispersed. How do you feel on that?
I never really that's actually a good question, but I don't know. Wow.
I think that is a wonderful question. What I think we're going to do, because we're going to be discussing Charlottesville at least another day on Wednesday, so we're running out of time on today's show, caller. You know, you may get another chance to answer that question, but we have a couple of minutes left. So we just invite everyone to tune in to tomorrow's show on Changing the Conversation on Punch TV Studios. 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You'll find out more information. Visit us on our website at punchtvstudios.com. Visit us on our social media network, nabuki.com, nabuki.com. Until tomorrow, tune in next time. Changing the Conversation.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit punchtvstudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.